much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's breakfast time. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. It's breakfast time.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
When you sit down across from someone who has more families with dying little boys and girls who get a call to take them on their last fishing trip in life, call me when you meet someone who does that more than I do.
Isn't he, crazy?
At the Grammy Roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
You're asking all the wrong questions.
And now,
I know, right?
Our feature presentation.
How has life been up until now?
It's a good question.
Maybe my favorite question ever.
It's a stumper.
It's really, it works on a lot of levels.
Uh-huh.
First of all, there's no way you care. Second of all, there's no way you have the time to listen to that. I love it, especially for older people.
Who are deaf.
How's life been up until now?
What were you thinking, Muggs?
Well, when I was in grade school...
I don't know. I was really excited to interview him, so I don't know.
Sure.
So it was more of a just kind of how you doing?
Yeah.
Probably?
Yeah.
All right.
He didn't want to miss a thing in Lou Ferrigno's life.
Right.
He wanted to go back to the beginning because he was so excited about it. He didn't want to miss any of the stories.
He's thorough. That's what we like about Muggs.
Yeah. Exactly.
Morning, everybody.
They should incorporate that question into all interviews.
A brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Wednesday morning.
It certainly is. We talk about from time to time how people who become rich or even people who become famous, it's not so much that they change, but it amplifies what they're already like.
Right.
You know, we've had that conversation before. If you're an a-hole and you get a lot of money, well, you're just going to be more of an a-hole. Right.
That's true.
If you make bad decisions as a person and you get a bunch of money, you're going to continue to make bad decisions. You don't automatically become a smart person because you get a lot of money.
Same thing with being thrifty. If you're a thrifty person and you get a lot of money, you don't change and start throwing it around.
You're
it
absolutely right.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Way.
Yeah.
Well, here's a story out of Wichita, Kansas. Maybe you saw this. Two brothers who won the lottery, $75,000. They had a winning lottery ticket. And I didn't know much about them before, but I suspect they don't make great choices because they went out and they blew it all on marijuana and meth.
All right.
Oh, my God.
And then accidentally blew up their house.
Mm. Oh,
yay!
Right now.
Oh.
Sergeant Bruce Watts of the Wichita Police Department says the explosion sent one of the brothers, a 27-year-old, to the hospital. He remains in serious but stable condition with secondary burns on his hand, arms, and chest. The other brother is sent to jail. 7 o'clock Friday night, guys, one of the brothers went into the kitchen to refuel the butane torches that they were using to light their bongs.
Yeah.
So he emptied a couple of the large cans of the lighter fluid into the bongs, what they were using, and the butane got into the air and reached the pilot light in the furnace.
Oh, my God.
So, gosh, it's been a long time since I've been to school. I don't really know that much about science anymore. But what happens when you put gasoline together with fire? I can't remember. How does that – is that good? Or?
Boom. Things go boom.
By the way,
did they win millions? I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
75,000.
75 grand.
Oh.
75 grand.
Oh, what a waste.
Probably not enough to repair the damage to their house and pay for their hospital bills. They're probably in worse financial shape than they were before they bought their winning lottery ticket. The man who was sent to the hospital, by the way, again with the serious burns, was wearing a lottery T-shirt during the explosion.
All right.
The victim's girlfriend loaded him and some kids into a car. I'm glad the kids were there.
Yeah, that's good.
That's nice that the kids were there for the meth and marijuana party. Victim's girlfriend loaded him and some children into a car and took them to the hospital. She dropped him off and left. No word yet whether she's coming back, by the way. Officials went to the house with a warrant. The other brother was still at the scene, admitted what happened, that he had the marijuana and the methamphetamine, so he was arrested. So,
why would he admit that?
I don't know. They were going to find out anyway.
Maybe.
I'm sure the fire investigators. But, yeah, why give yourself up first thing?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'll burn up enough that they can't really prove it or something.
It is crazy, though, to think, and we talk about, and one of our listeners emailed us what the word is, I don't remember now, how you go from the highest high to the lowest lows. I mean, imagine how excited they were when they got that stuff home and started to get it all set up, and they said, I can't believe this. We won 75 grand in the lottery. Look at all these drugs. We're going to have the best night ever. Boom. 1 minute later, one of them's in jail, one of them's in the hospital. So, good times.
No house.
That's no house, right.
That really
isn't
that awesome? The best. Yeah.
She's gone. She's like, so she's driven 500 miles by now.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bezos, shall we?
This bullshit. This all bullshit.
I think you'll disagree after you hear this.
Okay.
We have, I don't know, UFC fighter Ronda Rousey on the program today.
She's a pretty good deal, by the way.
She's a great deal. Good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hot. Fights.
Oh, I didn't even know she was pretty. I just meant as a fighter. She's
excellent. You didn't realize
that? Notice how unbelievably hot she is.
That's strange. Bean's Death Corner. Got a new one of those. We have Kevin Smith on the program today.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We have from Southland, one of the lead actors, Michael Cutlass, on the program today.
Oh, that show's so good.
Cutlass. We have Joe Rogan in the 7 o'clock hour, one of our favorite comedian / UFC announcers. He does pretty much everything, that guy.
A comedian should not slash a UFC announcer, by the way. There's enough violence in the octagon without attacking the people who are working the fight, Kevin.
Just means that he did both.
Jeez.
And we're also going to talk to Bobby, I believe it's Rotger. Those are my choices.
Okay.
Hopefully it'll be one of those about, it's this bizarre family that trains dogs for the police.
Oh, really?
And for the fire department and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's really top-notch dog training. But you look at them and they're a biker family. They're all wearing the giant leather jackets and spikes everywhere. And they just look, first impressions, you would go, all right, I'm going to stay away from that house.
I'm going to sick the dogs on them.
Yeah, right. But they're the ones who train these dogs for the authorities.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So we'll take a look at that as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beatdown.
Former NBA great talks about another former NBA great, Karl Malone, on Charles Barkley's belly button. That's the story just after 6 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. If you haven't heard this yet, you have to stick around for it.
Because it's weird.
One of the craziest things you've ever heard in sports. First, though, Ralph is off today, and for the Showbiz Beat, it's us, Kevin and Bean. I really just want to use this time to talk about how much I love Alison Brie. I think we had a conversation a few weeks ago where we talked about who the ultimate all-time number one woman in your life is.
Right.
And for me, it would be Alison Brie. Of course, she's an actress. She's on Community. She's on Mad Men. And she's just beautiful, and she's just so nice, and she's just so funny. Of course, you remember a couple of times ago, she had an appearance on the show when I happened to be on vacation.
Ha!
And the guys were kind enough to, give me a call from the studio with Allison there.
Yes.
Is this Bean Baxter?
It is.
It's Ralph Garman from the Kevin and Bean Show here.
We have Allison Brie here.
Hi, Bean.
Oh, we must have lost the connection. Oh. Damn these phones. We always
hate it when that happens.
These are the most unpredictable phones here at the studio.
Did you hear how excited he was?
That's awesome.
I was. It wasn't awesome, Lisa. Shut up.
That was the best.
Fortunately, we've had her on since then, and I got a chance to make nice with her. Well, the reason I bring her up, besides the fact that I like talking about her every single day, is she made another appearance on the Jimmy Fallon show this week where he brought up that she loves to freestyle rap. Like, what's up with that? She does it on the show all the time on Community. It's one of the most hilarious things because you look at Alison Brie and you go, well, she's not a freestyle rapper, but it turns out she loves to do it. She's not the best. Eminem's not going underground to get away from Alison Brie, okay? But she's hilarious when she does it, and she says that it's just the vibe that they have on the set. That's how she started doing it, because she's working with Donald Glover, you know, who's got a rap career as Childish Gambino, and she says a bed always is laying down, you know, beats, and she just loves to rap. So he asked for a demonstration, so she had Questlove give her a beat, and here's Alison Brie from Jimmy Fallon a couple nights ago.
I got a singular pitch, and it's in my fast lane, because when I'm not reading traffic, I'm selling cocaine, because I'm a hustler. And my name is Lisa May. Moving all the yayo is a game I like to play.
I'm sorry, that's Lisa
She's
May.
She's not better than that, though, right? I mean, come on.
She actually may not be better than that, but here she is again with Questlove from Jimmy Fallon.
Okay, here we go. We're talking about Community, and you're gonna laugh so much you won't have immunity. You're catching a comedy cold, because we're bold. If you ain't sold, then now you've been told about Troy and Abed. Sheets from your bed to make a fort. If you don't want to show, I'm taking you to court. My
That's not bad.
That's not bad considering.
Yeah. Community, NBC. I just love her so much. Is there nothing this woman can't do?
Rap.
How dare you. How dare you.
Russell Brand and Katy Perry were married, as you know, and Russell Brand has had a problem in the past. He told us that he had...
Wait, he told us this?
He told... Russell Brand, yeah. He told us that he had an addiction to sex.
Yeah, he was a sex addict.
Right,
he was a sex addict, and he had to go to rehab for that.
Yeah.
And now, it's funny because he's talking to In Touch. He's worried about Katy Perry being involved with John Mayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because John Mayer is, quote, a womanizer.
Ah, so he's... Because John Mayer's a player, he says, I'm looking out for my ex-wife here, even though he was the one who was addicted to sex.
He was cured, right. Kevin.
Right, but if anyone else on the planet was worried about this, it would be different.
Yeah.
But Russell Brand is the wrong guy to be calling somebody else a womanizer.
Yeah, true. Good
I'm
point.
I'm sure she's fine.
I'm sure she's fine as well, yes.
That has already lasted longer than we thought it would, by
no
the way.
Kidding.
John Mayer. I mean, he usually doesn't stick around for more than a couple of months with these ladies. So, here's a bizarre story out of TMZ. What's your level of interest in seeing the final resting place of Christopher Dorner, the cabin in Big Bear that they burned down when they went in and identified his body from his teeth? What's your interest in seeing that crime scene?
Zero.
No, I don't need I to just see have, that.
I'm not, if I was there, I wouldn't care.
TMZ... was shopped the photos. Somebody took pictures of Christopher Dorner's body and is shopping around trying to get somebody to buy them.
Oh, God. Ugh. Come on.
Who? I mean, would this have to be someone in an official capacity? It's not like tourists were going through there. It seems like the only people who ever would have been in there would be law enforcement and crime scene people, right?
Yeah, you could
think so. Anyone else near it.
Yeah, did somebody snap photos and somehow get them out and now is trying to sell them? I can't imagine. Apparently, the photos are extremely gruesome. Let's remember that Christopher Dorner, he's the guy, you know, for folks who don't recognize the name, who, you know, shot up a bunch of people, killed a couple of cops in Southern California, and then led authorities to Big Bear, where he had a big firefight, ended up shooting himself in the head. So you can't imagine that you'd want to see that, right? Apparently, the body is missing several limbs, including an arm and parts of a leg.
Wow.
The midsection is charred from the fire.
Oh, God.
Several body parts remain intact, however, including his eyeballs, his chest, and his penis.
No.
Nope.
Right. I'm a no on that, too. In case you're wondering, by the way, Harvey declined to buy the photos. But he says the sellers are definitely on the hunt for a buyer, so I wouldn't be surprised if these come out. So would you look at them if, you know, somebody else picks them up?
I don't know. I mean, if they're right
there. You see a link that says, hey, see the Christopher Dorner photos?
Nope.
No.
I don't think I would either. But I don't think I need to see that.
But if somebody that I knew was sitting next to me and said, look at this, it's Christopher Dorner.
You wouldn't shut your eyes.
I'd probably glance for a second. But no, I wouldn't go to a link or look at that. I have no interest.
Just so bizarre that somebody would have been able to get photos of that and get them out of official custody to be able to sell them.
That sounds like someone's going to get in big trouble.
Yeah, no kidding. You guys watch that Kim and her uglier sister take Miami?
No.
I was watching, I was flipping channels and I came across it. And Kim said that if she had a wish, she would say, if I was a man, I would... want to know what it's like to have sex with myself. So she said if she could be a man, she would pick herself to have sex with. Because
pretty good choice.
She wants to know what it's like to have sex with her. And she added the words from behind.
She did.
This is Kim Kardashian saying.
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
So she loves Kim Kardashian.
She does. Yeah.
She finds Kim Kardashian irresistible and sexy.
If you could be a guy, who would you want to have sex with? Me? Well, we agree on that at least.
That's awesome.
It's bizarre, right?
Today's celebrity birthdays here on February the 20th. Oscar-winning actor Sidney Poitier is remarkably still alive. Still handsome and still popular at 86 years old. Speaking of Charles Barkley and his belly button, as we will be in moments, he is 50 years old today. Actor French Stewart from Third Rock from the Sun turns 49. Whatever happened to that guy, by the way?
I don't know.
You don't see him much anymore, do you? Model Cindy Crawford. Kevin, you want to take a crack at how old she is?
I looked, but that's shocking.
47, ladies and gentlemen.
I was going to guess 46.
She looks great.
She does.
She looks incredible. She looks like she's barely aged since she stopped modeling.
Yeah.
Andrew Shue from Melrose Place, 46 years old today. Brian Littrell with the Backstreet Boys is 38. And Rihanna turns 25 today, and that's the showbiz. Talk to a guy in a couple of minutes who's got a job training, oh, I don't know, cadaver dogs, dogs to find cadavers, and cash and drugs and all sorts of things. That's an interesting line of work to get into, isn't it?
Yeah, they train the dogs for the, you know, the authorities, for the police and everything else, the DEA.
Military, yeah.
And the stuff that they can teach those dogs is unbelievable.
Smarter than Beer Mug, I'll tell you that.
Hey. Listening
maybe
to the Kevin
could have
Beach.
A dog run aboard.
Hey, great
that's
idea.
I love it. Listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. Time for a brand new Beanstiff Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
Death is hilarious. That's what I've learned in the years that we've been doing this feature. And nowhere is it more hilarious than in the Heart Attack Grill, a restaurant in Las Vegas. They are back in the news. They lost another spokesman, you guys.
Another one? Really?
How many is that now?
Well, this is two in a row. The last guy who was the spokesperson for Heart Attack Grill died at age 29 a couple of years ago.
My God.
In 2012, just last year, a customer suffered an actual heart attack while eating the triple bypass burger. 2 months after that, they had a customer collapse in the restaurant while eating the double bypass burger. By the way, they have something called the quadruple bypass burger, which has four, you know, pieces of meat on it and all the fixins, everything else, all the cheese and everything you can imagine.
Muggs, you've had that, right?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Take a guess, Lisa, how many calories in that one burger?
The double bypass burger?
The quadruple bypass burger.
God, it's
with all the
be like
with all the sauce, the meat, and the cheese, and everything like that. Yeah.
Half a pound of cheese. I'm going to say 3,500 calories.
All fantastic.
Fantastic guess. If you met 9,982.
Wow. No.
Wow.
If you met nearly 10,000 calories for the quadruple bypass burger. Well, the latest victim was 52 years old. His name was John Alleman. He's the guy who would stand outside the restaurant to try to encourage people to come inside. The owner did not even pay the man, paid him in free food.
What?
He says after the man's death, he told the Las Vegas Sun, this is John Bassett, the owner of the Heart Attack Grill, I told him if you keep eating like this, it's going to kill you. And sure enough, it did. He has said all along, look, I'm just being honest. I don't tell anyone to come to the Heart Attack Grill and eat all of your meals here. I tell you right when you walk in the door, this establishment is bad for your health.
Right.
And they have lost another spokesperson, this time 52 years old.
Oh, my God.
But wouldn't you go if you were in Las Vegas and thought of it? Come on. Here's a similar story. Ralph mentioned this very briefly last week, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it much. Here's a woman who died due to her addiction to Coca-Cola. 30 years old, Natasha Harris from New Zealand, was drinking 2.2 gallons of Coca-Cola every single day.
2 gallons?
My gosh.
She, by the way, was a mother of 8, which is just a she's 30 and has 8 kids, by the way, and clearly not treating herself right.
There's a lot going wrong there.
Yeah, and now the 8 kids have no mom.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
The coroner says that her Coke habit, and we're talking about Coca-Cola here, was a substantial factor that contributed to the development of the metabolic imbalances which gave rise to the arrhythmia. In other words, she would be alive today if she hadn't drunk all that goddamn soda. Her mother-in-law was quoted saying to the Discovery Channel she would get the shakes if she didn't get soda often enough. Withdrawal symptoms, she would be angry, on edge, and snappy. So it sounds like she was actually addicted to drinking Coca-Cola.
Sure does.
Wow.
So, 30 though. Wow. Here's a crazy story that is in Death Corner because we're talking about a man in Sweden named Salih Hadri who is suspected of killing a man. He got away. He went on the run for more than a year. In fact, 15 months he was on Sweden's most wanted list. He got away and they couldn't find him.
Okay.
He finally got tired of running. Claims he's innocent, by the way. Decided he wanted to fight the charge. So he went to the local police station to turn himself in. He rang the doorbell and he said, I'm on the most wanted list. I would like to turn myself in. They said back to him over the intercom,
I'm sorry, we're closed right now.
No. Nope.
You'll have to go to a different police station to turn yourself in.
That did not happen.
It did happen. Mr. Hodrey said, closed. I'm suspected of murder. I'm on your wanted list. You guys really want to get a hold of me? And he was told, no, I'm sorry, we are closed right now. Apparently, they were doing some construction or something like
that. Oh, my God.
They didn't send an officer out to, like, lock him up and take him to the other station. They just said, no, you just go on down the road and go to the other police station.
Look, it's an honor system. We'll trust you.
So I don't know whether he did it or not, but I think that's a hilarious way to turn yourself in. A couple more stories in this all-new Beans Death Corner. Here's a 21-year-old Luis Sermontio in New Jersey just on Monday this week. He was in a terrible car accident involving two other vehicles on the Garden State Parkway. He survived, got out of the car, tried to cross the street afterwards to get some help, and was hit by a car on the way over the highway. You're in an accident. Does it really, Lisa?
Yeah,
do you
see
that?
People like they'll have a flat tire and then try to run across the freeway and then they get hit and killed. Or someone comes to help them.
Yeah.
And
right.
They get hit and killed.
Look, Bowfinger is the only successful case of a guy ever crossing a freeway, right?
That's true.
And finally, this is a grisly story, but it has a bizarre ending. We actually talked about this at the time. There's a man on death row right now whose name is Andre Thomas. In 2004, he killed three people, including his estranged wife. He cut out their hearts and took the organs home in his pockets using three different knives so the blood from each body would not cross-contaminate, thereby ensuring that the demons inside of each of them would die. He then stabbed himself in the chest, but he did not die. Apparently, he believed, you know, he was being talked to by Satan. He heard a message telling him to kill Jezebel, the Antichrist, and a related evil spirit. That's why he picked the three people. So he's convicted of murder. He's sentenced to death. He's on death row in Texas. While he's in jail, he cuts his eyes out one at a time.
Oh,
I remember
my God.
This.
Cuts his first eye out. Then a couple months later, cuts out his second eye, making himself blind. And by the way, eating that eye. Okay?
Oh!
Now, I tell you all of this morning, not because I want to ruin your breakfast.
But because it's on the following. That's why. They're cutting people's eyes out.
It does sound like it's on the following.
That's happening.
Because he is back in the news because of the controversy of his defense is that he is mentally insane.
Mentally insane.
Do you think he might be mentally insane? Do you think if there's ever been a case of a guy who's clearly mentally insane, cutting the hearts out of people, cutting it, eating your own eye, hearing voices? I mean, this guy's mentally insane. The state of Texas disagrees, and they are going to continue him on death row until his execution. They say he cannot be mentally insane because he tried to run away from the scene after he killed all those people. He heard sirens. He ran away. If he knew he had done something wrong, why would he run? If you're claiming you're insane, then you don't know when you've done something
wrong. But, Your Honor, I ate my eye. What does a guy have to do?
How much does the state of Texas love executing people?
They do.
They're going crazy. What do you have to do to be legally insane in Texas? This has been an all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Our friend Joe Rogan joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Actor Michael Cudlitz from Southland is going to be here in the 8 o'clock hour, and Kevin Smith as well. Right now, though, we're going to tell you about another new TV show, this time on Nat Geo Wild. It is called Alpha Dogs. They train dogs to do everything. They could probably train a dog to do this show. So we wanted to find out more about this, loving dogs and whatnot. And Bobby Rechtger joins us on the phone. He is the head of military operations at VLK, which is the kennel where all this goes on. Bobby, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
We appreciate you having us on, sir. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I'm amazed by the scope of your business. What do you got, like 600 acres for this enterprise?
Yes, sir. We comprise of over 600 acres of ground. We train in houses, hotels. We own our own elementary schools, warehouses, building house trailers. We pretty much are the total package, sir.
Now, how did you get start providing trained dogs for the military or the police?
Well, the owner and operator, Ken Licklider, is retired Air Force, was in the dog program there from the time he was in the service and retired out of it. Started Von Lick Kennels in 1993 here in Denver, Indiana, and it has grown from a mom-and-pop organization from just catering to local law enforcement agencies to law enforcement agencies all around the world, along with military, whether it's conventional or special ops around the world.
And you kind of got interested in it because you have a background in law enforcement also, and you had a canine unit and what, just enjoyed working with animals?
Absolutely, sir. My love for the dogs goes way back to when I was a kid. We used dogs to go hunting and stuff, and from there I thought it was very fascinating and lived with dogs, grew up with them all my life, and then got into the different aspects and different roles that they could do. And, you know, that's what I've dedicated my life to. And let me tell you, I've got a great job. I get to play with dogs every day and travel around the world.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Pretty cool.
I saw your boss, Kenny, on the Letterman show the other day, and he was telling Dave that at least the breed that he brought on with him came from Europe. Like, you get a lot of dogs from outside of the United States, and if so, why?
Absolutely, sir. We have our own kennel we own and operate over in Germany. I'm sorry, over in Holland, right next to Germany. We have our own trainers over there procuring the dogs, but they have they have the resources over there. They breed and train the dogs for all the sport clubs, whether it's Schutzen, IPO, CAMPV type stuff. And we buy the dogs from over there because, one, they have the source and the amount of dogs that we need each year.
Right.
Plus, they have the right drives and that we need to train the dogs. If anything, if they'll do take the training, we'll train them. And even the specific breeds, he had the Belgian Malinois on the David Letterman show the other night. But we'll train anything. I've got pit bulls leading troops on the ground over in Afghanistan right now, locating and detecting improvised explosive devices and saving literally hundreds and thousands of lives.
But you won't train like Chihuahuas. No police department wants that, right?
Well, if they'll take the training and if we got a client for it, you bet you we'll train it.
Like, for example, when Osama bin Laden was killed?
Yeah.
They had a dog? Do you know where your dogs are, who's using it? Could that have been yours, that kind of thing?
We have dogs all around the world. There's a lot of other people that provide dogs. There's military that have their own programs and procurement programs and stuff. There's a lot of security issues. There's a lot of OPSEC that goes on, but... You know, when you're dealing with high value targets and the dogs are involved, it's a win-win for anybody in the dog world, sir.
How many different? This is the voice of Bobby Redfield here on the Kevin Amicho, head of military operations at VLK, which is the Van Lick Kennels in Indiana. We're talking about training law enforcement and police dogs. How many different scents can you train? Specific different scents can you train dogs to ferret out?
Okay, we train explosive detection dogs. We train narcotics. We train cell phones, we train money, guns, cadaver dogs. There are a couple other specialty things that we do, but they're like one-offs. But our main focus is explosives and narcotic dogs.
I have a clip of training a dog to sniff out money that has been not circulated in society.
Today is the first time the dogs are going to search for money and luggage. We've already spent 3 weeks in the boxer room teaching the dogs to detect uncirculated money.
These are uncirculated hundreds.
Bills that are uncirculated don't have everyday odors on them like dirt, sweat, and sometimes cocaine. This way, the dogs can learn to smell the true scent of money like the ink and the paper. It takes upwards to 4 to 6 weeks to train these dogs, and we're about to see our progress.
So you put a bunch of suitcases out there. All of them have, I'm guessing, the same amount of money in, but one suitcase has money that's been uncirculated, and the dog goes right to that suitcase and sits down next to it.
Yeah, dogs are very amazing in how they differentiate odors and how they throw out stimulus. You was listening to head of law enforcement operations, Danny Parker, and the owner, Ken Licklider, on that clip. We did just recently train a money dog for a police department out of Hawaii because they're having a lot of problems with money laundering and stuff. We associate what the dogs like to play with, such as a tennis ball. We associate that with the odors we want them to train on. Then we finally take the toy away, and it's all on the core odor itself. These dogs are truly amazing at what they do, and I believe we don't even scratch the surface of what they're capable of doing.
Let me ask you this, Bobby. I live in Washington State, and I ride a ferry quite a bit, and it's not uncommon to see a law enforcement officer walking up and down the ferry line with a dog looking for explosives. 364 days out of 365, that dog never finds something. How do you keep their spirits up, keep them motivated, when most of the time they're not going to find what you're looking for?
Well, that's very true. That's an individual dog that hit through his training, he gets motivated to continue his work. The normal police department with explosive dogs will go their whole career and never find an explosive, where the military guys are finding it every day. It's readily available to them over there. But it's about the training and the maintenance and upkeep. You keep them motivated to want to do the job. And most of these dogs, that's what they live for. All they want to do is work. If you sit them around at the house, let them lay on the couch, they're happy just for a short period of time, but then they're up, ready to go. They're wanting to go back to work.
Talking to Bobby Redker, who from Alpha Dogs, which is on Fridays at 9 and 9:30 on Nat Geo Wild. And do you spend as much time training the officers as you do the dogs?
Oh, sir, the dogs are the easy part. The people are the hard part.
That's what I was afraid of, yeah. Because, I mean, you know, they must call back and go, this dog is not doing what we told it to do. And then you go, okay, explain to me exactly how you're doing it, right?
Boy, you've read some of my emails, haven't you?
All right, yeah, last question for you here, Bobby. You have how many dogs at one time there at the camp? Like over 300, right?
Sir, we can house up to 550 dogs right now. I think we're right at about 450, 475.
Wow.
Right
now. God. How many full-time people just do nothing but poop duty?
Oh, buddy, I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for our kennel handlers, we stake a lot of pride and a lot on these guys, because they're the backbone, they're the main force of us being able to train these dogs. You know, the trainers have a God's gift and talent to train the dogs, but the kennel handlers are the ones that make sure that they're healthy and they're fed and watered and cleaned up every day so we can take them out and train them.
Yeah,
we're
that's just
looking about 120 to 128 people, I think, work at this facility.
Wow. That's a lot of poop cleaning.
That's a mountain. That's a mountain of poop right there.
Well, you guys are doing great, great work. And as you said, your dogs go all over the world and help law enforcement in so many different situations. It's a fascinating look at your business. Alpha Dogs is the name of the show, Friday nights on Nat Geo Wild. Bobby, great to have you on the show today. We really appreciate it.
Hey, we appreciate you. Thank you so much, sir.
Joe Rogan steps in here in a couple of minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show for the 7 o'clock hour. We love Joe so much. Looking forward to talking to him. First, though, Ralph Garman's off today. We're taking a look at the showbiz beat. And I want to start with this will surprise a lot of people, because in our minds, Kurt Cobain is always young, because he was 27 years old when he died. So that's the last time we saw him. So that's how we picture him.
Yeah, sure.
But were he still alive, he would be 46 years old today.
Wow.
And it's hard to imagine. I mean, I guess it would, you know, we'd be used to it by now, because we would have seen him every year since then, just like, you know, Dave Grohl's probably about that age, and we're fine with it. But Kurt Cobain at 46, there's more talk of a Kurt Cobain movie finally being made. This has been an idea that's been floating around Hollywood for 5 or 6 years. At one time, Ryan Gosling was being talked about as potentially the guy to play Kurt Cobain. Robert Pattinson. Ewan McGregor, and my choice, Jared Leto, all mentioned possibly playing Kurt Cobain in a movie. Couldn't you totally see him doing that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now it seems like Courtney Love, who I guess would be the one you'd have to go through to get this film made, now it seems like she is shifting away from the idea of making a feature film and instead making a documentary. Apparently she's been talking to Brett Morgan, the guy who did The Kid Stays in the Picture, that great movie about Hollywood a couple of years ago. She's been talking to him and given her blessing to make a Kurt Cobain documentary. So they're trying to find the right time to put the film together, and they think now might be the time. Would you go see something like that if there were a Kurt Cobain documentary?
I think I would too. Yeah.
I think especially if it's a documentary.
Yeah, would be fascinating. So anyway, we'll keep you posted. I mean, it doesn't seem like Nirvana is going away. I mean, it seems like that's a band that's, you know, probably still sells, well, as much as anyone sells records. They're still super popular and sell a lot of records every year, even though they've been gone a long time.
People Magazine reports Neil Patrick Harris was talking with Jeff Probst at the Grammys and said that he wants to play Survivor. He wants to do a celebrity Survivor.
That's a great idea.
How unbelievable would that be?
I would love it.
Be fantastic. I mean, I know they have that in Britain. They have a very popular incarnation of Big Brother, the celebrity Big Brother. Why not have a celebrity Survivor too?
Get Busey out there and Meatloaf, Janet Jackson.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me? That would be the best show ever.
I think you're right, Kevin. We take all of the celebrities from Celebrity Apprentice and we put them on Survivor. That would be the best. Could you imagine Little John out there living with Gary Busey?
I'd put my money on Little John.
I'd put my money on Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, true.
That sounds like a great. Why don't they do that? They got the fans versus favorites going on right now. Why don't they do a Celebrity Survivor?
If I had to guess, it would be because it would be hard to find celebrities, you know, people who qualify as celebrity who want to do it. Because
you think so?
Well, yeah, because that brings out the worst in everybody. You know what I mean? Like,
and women don't want to be there with no makeup on and their hair looks like crap.
I don't know. I think it would be hard to get, like, you know, we were mentioning a dream list of celebrities. Most of the time,
right.
You see these diving shows and all that kind of crap. Most of the time, they get D-level stars if you even recognize them.
Yeah.
But isn't Survivor, though, a cut above? I mean, that's
a
super well-respected, popular reality show that I bet has lots of celebrities who love that show.
Britney Spears, she should be on it.
Yes.
Hey, if we ever have either Probst or Mark Burnett on again, we got to talk to him about that and find out, because they must have discussed it at some point.
You would
right?
think, yeah.
That would be cool. Hey, our man Jimmy Kimmel is going to have another big night on Sunday. Of course, ABC usually has the Oscars. They do again this year. It's hard to believe Oscars are finally here. It seems, I feel like we've been hearing about them for 6 months.
That's because we've been hearing about them for 6 months.
Yes.
But the Academy Awards air on Sunday night, and then I guess the local news, and then Jimmy Kimmel has his post-Oscar special, and in case you were wondering, they are going to be debuting the sequel to last year's Movie the Movie, which was the most star-studded
awesome.
Film ever. This one's called Movie the Movie Twoovie, is what Jimmy is calling it. Apparently, just some of the stars that are going to show up in this are Bradley Cooper, Jessica Chastain, Jude Law, Salma Hayek, John Krasinski, Samuel L. Jackson, and many, many more. But Jimmy is just the king of doing these videos with the celebrities, and I'm very excited to see that. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
You would think Lindsay Lohan at some point would say, you know what, I'm really in a lot of trouble. I'm not getting the money I used to get. I used to be considered a good actress. Right? You'd think all that
everything
stuff.
Everything is just falling apart.
She wants to go to Dubai to promote an energy drink, but there's some problems because she's demanding more money than the company wants to pay. I mean, really, at this point, don't you just go, just send me first class, I'll go free.
She does seem like she overvalues herself time and time again, doesn't she?
But then there's also the little problem of Dubai very strict about not letting people in with criminal convictions.
Oops.
So who knows if that'll work or not, but you certainly would think she would be bending over backwards to try and get along with people. And
I wonder what they were offering to pay her. It doesn't say.
Doesn't matter. To me, I mean, you really have to...
Whatever it is, it's too much.
You have to start working.
Yeah,
at some point.
She needs cash desperately.
And finally, for me, if you're bummed out that you weren't able to get tickets for Coachella, because that's one of the fastest selling tickets in the world, that's the biggest West Coast concert that there is every year, you might want to consider the Bonnaroo Festival. The 2013 Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival was announced yesterday. That is held June 13th through the 16th in Manchester, Tennessee. And they have quite a lineup, by the way. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Paul McCartney, Mumford & Sons, Bjork, Wilco, R. Kelly, the Wu-Tang Clan, Daniel Tosh is going to be performing.
What?
And then a bunch of K-Rock music, too, including The National, The Lumineers, Passion Pit, The XX, Grizzly Bear, Of Monsters and Men, Animal Collective. The list just goes on and on and on. It's a pretty tremendous lineup again this year. Yeah, they have a comedy tent, too. I guess they do at Coachella. But if you're interested, you can go to Bonnaroo.com, and the tickets are going on sale this Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. Weird Al Yankovic, by the way, also performing on Bonnaroo this year. Why doesn't Coachella think about that once in a while? Where's Weird Al doing the halftime for the Super Bowl while we're at it?
Weird Al can't do everything, Bean.
I'm just saying the world would be better if Weird Al did do everything, right. Bean. That's what I'm saying.
Celebrity birthday, Sydney Poitier is 86. Anthony Stewart Head from Buffy the Vampire Slayer is 59. Charles Barkley, who we just found out keeps... Oh, that was the grossest
Vaseline
thing that's ever.
Belly button.
That's the grossest thing that's ever been told to me.
That's
think
pretty icky.
By
that's
Carl
a terrible
Malone.
Idea.
Yeah, he kept it in his belly button. I mean, that's just terrible. Then he would rub it on
Where
his lips during the game. Well, if you don't put it in your belly button, I guess there are only a couple of other options, and those are worse. Actor Fred Stewart from Third Rock from the Sun is 49. Cindy Crawford is 47 years old.
I hate her.
Actor Andrew Hsu from Melrose Place is 46. Lauren Ambrose from 6 Feet Under is 35. Actor Jay Hernandez from Crazy Beautiful is 35. And singer Rihanna is a beautiful 25 years old. And that's...
Joe Rogan, missing in action. We assume he'll be here any minute here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin Smith joins us next hour, and the beautiful Ronda Rousey in the 9 o'clock hour. Also, don't forget, K-Rock's World Tour 2013 is destination number 6, Red Hot Chili Peppers in Mexico City, Mexico. Listen, throughout the day, all week long here on K-Rock, including at 9 and 10 this morning for your chance to score the latest Chili Peppers album, I'm With You, and get on the standby boarding list to go to Mexico City. When we send our listeners to Mexico, that's one way, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We don't bother with the expense of a return trip.
I just don't think you come back. I don't think you come back from Mexico. I think if you go on vacation, you're there. You either move there or you're buried there. One of the two. Lisa, you're usually the first one to complain when it dips below 70. What was it like for you on your drive in this morning?
It was 48 degrees.
48. How are we alive?
My heater was on 80. I had gloves on. I have a sweater. I have a shirt under the sweater. And I had my big coat. And Uggs.
What's going on, Lisa?
It's so cold.
What's going on?
I had to take poor Boner out before I went to work.
Me too.
And he had this big old sweater.
Lisa's talking about her dog, Kevin.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Completely different kind of boner.
Poor little thing. I had to wrap him in blankets when we got
and
back.
And now
in the
house. She's not talking about mine.
Oh, my God. You're unbelievable.
So
Listen to the way you described what you were wearing. It's as if you were in Minnesota and it was 30 degrees below zero.
It's the same outfit
they're wearing in Minnesota for 30 degrees below zero.
It's the same, though, I think.
Wear a ski suit.
Once it gets below, say, 60, then it's just not safe.
Well, I'm continually surprised by seeing the people on the news. And this is one of the great things. And our friend Jimmy Kimmel does a great bit. Every time there's a little bit of cold weather in Southern California, he compiles all of the news coverage, which is just crazy. I mean, there was a woman for Channel 4 this morning. What's her name, Lisa? You probably know Jane Cacamachi or
Agamachi. Yeah, that's Cacamachi.
I'm sure
whatever
it's Cacamachi.
And she was like, she's standing on the docks this morning in Long Beach or something like that. She's like, oh my God, it's so cold. The winds are like 60 miles an hour. They throw it back to the anchor, who, of course, are sitting in a warm seat. And they're like, yeah, the winds are about 20, Jane. They're going to be. I don't want to say you're whipping people into a needless frenzy, but she was just complaining and complaining and complaining. And then she talked to a couple people who were out this morning who were talking about just how unbelievably cold it is.
And, you know, I talked to a guy who is getting ready for work. His name is Robert Bitter, like it's bitter cold, and he describes the conditions this way.
It's bitter like it's bitter
like it's
cold.
Bitter cold.
Lava.
It feels windy, brisky, cold, freezing.
Okay.
Brisky?
It's.
I wouldn't be in Brisky.
How is this on the news? How is this an interview? We talk about this all the time, Kevin. You're the person out on the street doing the interviews.
Right.
Don't you get this interview and go, well, that's worthless. We can't use that.
Well, if we do that, how do other people not do that? I mean, honestly, your first response is, that was a waste of time. Let's find somebody else that we could put on the news.
But that's probably the best one.
But the bigger question is,
why are you interviewing people about how cold it is? Listen, news, there is nobody watching your channel who doesn't know it's cold out.
And doesn't know what that experience is like.
Right. Why do you need to interview civilians on the street to give us this?
It feels windy, brisky, cold, freezing.
What are you doing for me right now? How are you making my life better by watching your news?
It's brisky.
I'm making brisky for dinner.
Then they talk to this woman.
Like the air is coming from somewhere cold.
Well, that's not.
Whoa.
That wasn't the woman.
Whoa,
that wasn't the woman
yet.
The
air is coming from somewhere cold.
Yeah, I forgot he had more.
Like the air is coming from somewhere cold.
It's absolutely freezing. Thank God I have this jacket because.
Okay, first of all, sweetheart, it's not absolutely freezing. You know, freezing is actually a word that has meaning, right? You understand that freezing doesn't mean 50. Freezing means 32. You know what it's not? 32.
Freezing. Thank God I have this jacket because I am dying right now. I'm so used to the warm sunshine.
She's dying right now,
Kevin. She's dying. They should call an ambulance right away.
Why are you standing there doing an interview with the news if you're dying right now? She's the queen of hyperbole.
Being in that water in the beaches and not liking this. Under this, it's a little tank top, so this is definitely keeping me warm and my boots.
She did say boots, by the way. I thought she said boobs the first time I watched it, but she did say boots.
Dumb to put a tank top under a coat when it's freezing.
She's dying.
It does seem like it says more about her than it does about the weather, that she can't look outside or, I don't know, see the temperature on the TV or the radio. And, I don't know, maybe adjust what you're wearing. Lisa is adjusting what she's wearing based on the outside conditions. This woman isn't, and then she's complaining about it.
Lisa dresses like that in the studio every day, though, because we keep it cold.
Because it's freezing.
Freezing. Literally freezing at 68 degrees.
Every day.
We like it nipply, Lisa. Sorry.
With me, people! Into a needless frenzy!
That's what we like. We like the local news. We like all the interviews. Good work. Keep it up. And please, people, please, You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 7 o'clock. What's happening?
This is a red alert as we look for Joe Rogan, our supposed guest for the 7 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We were just talking about this off the air. Now, Rogan, he's probably dead, right? He's 20 minutes late at this point. It's likely that he's dead.
That's what I like about Bean is that's the only option.
Well, he's thinking of Death Corner.
Hey, Ted Stryker, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good to have you.
I'm glad I'm here.
The first thing I think if somebody is more than about 3 minutes late is, well, they're probably dead.
It's the last thing I think.
But the reason I think that, Kevin, is because I'm never late. I'm always on time. If I'm not there, it's because I'm dead, okay? So I feel like that's probably the case here.
Right. But how many times in our lives, and especially with this job, have you said he's probably dead, and then they turned out to be dead?
That has not happened yet.
Not zero.
If Joe Rogan is dead, if he is, though, and God forbid, I mean, I love Joe and I never want anything bad to happen to him, but because of how crazy he is in his life and his fascination with the oddities of the world, I hope to God he got hit by a meteor, he got he got eaten by a snake. So I hope something crazy happened, because you know how he is about these videos of all the different things that can kill you. I hope one of them killed him. I hope it's not just some stupid accident on the 405. You know what I mean?
He's not dead, Bean.
If he's dead, I'm just saying it.
But he's not.
Well, anyway, if you see Joe, red alert, let him contact K-Rock, please. And we hope, obviously, he's doing okay.
All right, let's talk about ridiculous ways that you hurt yourself. Because a lot of stories are embarrassing, and you really just need to make up a new one.
Right.
Because it's just too embarrassing. Joel Peralta, I believe is this guy's name. He plays for Tampa Bay. He's in spring training with the team in St. Petersburg, Florida. Hurt his neck while getting out of his car to get sandwiches.
Now, he's a professional athlete, right? He plays Major League Baseball.
Okay, so athlete's a little strong.
Getting out of the car to get a sandwich, he sprains his neck, and now he's injured.
Oh, how'd you hurt your neck? I got out of the car. That's embarrassing. You have to come up with a different one than that.
It is a tiny bit of a surprise just because these guys are so worked over by the trainers. You know, if you're a professional athlete, you're always getting the chiropractic and you're getting the massages and you're getting the sauna, you're getting all of that stuff. You're not walking around like most of us are, kind of out of whack a little bit. So I'm a little bit surprised to hear a story like that. But I will tell you that it's easy to have happen. I mean, almost everyone has had an instance where they can't believe something that they did ended up hurting them so much. It was a total surprise.
Wasn't there another baseball player who hurt himself trying to scare his kid?
No, he was jumping on a trampoline with his kid, and then he busted out his knee. I think it was a guy in the Yankees, Chamberlain. And there's another guy who was having a nightmare about spiders, and he hurt himself.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You know what? Dustin Penner of the Los Angeles Kings hurt himself eating pancakes.
Really?
Now, how do you do that?
I don't know.
How do you get injured eating pancakes?
I don't know.
By the way,
it's breakfast time. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. It's breakfast time.
What about you, Stryker? You hurt your tail sometime, right?
I always hurt my tail. Like when I go on long
airplanes. Stryker has a tail, by the way.
If you didn't know.
Okay, back to
you. Sounds weird to you.
Anytime I go on any airplane flight, I have to lean on one butt cheek because if I sit in the middle, it gets sore. If I do sit-ups, I have to kind of go to one side. But I was, you know what? I was doing a dance like the Three Stooges after I had a couple drinks.
Yes.
And that's when you kick your toes to your heel and kind of slide backwards. So I was doing that. I was going. I'm like, man, I'm doing pretty good. I slid right out from under myself. And a normal person, if they would have landed, they would have bounced right on the tail.
And
it was not only embarrassing, but I've never seen valet parkers laugh so hard.
Of course. That's the best thing ever.
Stryker has a tail!
Tail. That does sound like it would hurt. We want to take your phone calls on the ridiculous ways that you hurt yourself. I mean, this can't be I was playing with a chainsaw. I mean, this has to be I was getting up off the toilet. I mean, this has to be like there's no way you should have gotten hurt, and you really did. And the smaller the appearance that you could hurt yourself, combined with how seriously you hurt yourself, is going to make the story all the better. So you can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Here's an email. I just got out of a movie late at night with a big group of friends. We were walking back to where we parked our cars. It was really cold out, so I was wearing my jacket. I had my hands in my jacket pockets. We were walking on the sidewalk. My foot slipped off the curb and down I went. Now, this is about the time where a normal person would put out their hands and brace themselves for the fall, but not me. I could not react quickly enough to get my hands out of my pocket, and I fell straight to the ground like a tree that just got cut down. Can you picture that? The hands are in the pocket and you just hit the ground?
Oh, yeah, that's how I broke my nose. I did that.
Kevin did it. Yeah.
Really?
Running upstairs, hands in pockets.
I ended up with a huge bruise on my shoulder and a group of very entertained friends who could not stop laughing. So that's the kind of call we're looking at here at 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, let me just squeeze in one, Bean. I just want to tell you this.
Yeah, let's take Matt. Let's take Matt.
I want to tell you mine. Just real quick, and then we'll take Matt. Just real quick. Captain of the football team, leading, running in place, sprained my ankle.
Really? Leading. You were the captain of a team?
Yes. Running in place. But I sprained my ankle running in place. So they're all running in place, and I'm on the ground rolling around, driving. All right, let's go to Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. I was playing cards and threw my back out.
Playing cards?
Wait a second.
Yeah, what kind of cards?
Just normal playing crazy eights or some crap just like that.
Whatever and, strange.
Leaned forward to write the score down and fell to the floor because I threw my back out.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't take much of a wrong movement for your spine.
Yeah, a lot of times that's later tying my shoe.
Excellent. Did you change the story when you told people, or did you go with playing cards?
I'm not that smart.
Dude, seriously, trust me on this. You weren't playing cards. You were bull riding, okay? Right. That's the story you want.
That's what I'm saying.
Matt, thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don't come running is what I'm learning from this phone topic here on the Kevin and Bean Show on Carrot, because you will fall down. We're talking about ridiculous ways that you injured yourself. We're going right back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Ryan writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, can't call, but I snapped my collarbone in half as a kid while pretending like I was tripping over a newspaper just to make my friends laugh. I jumped up in the air and fell to the ground with my body perfectly horizontal. I ended up being in a brace for 12 weeks.
Wow.
It wasn't worth it. Gina emails, I'm the master of random injuries. I stepped wrong in my heels on my way to the car one day, ended up in a foot boot for a month. I got a second degree burn on another foot after I dropped some melted cheese on it. And I broke my toe answering the phone. I know there are more, but sometimes it's better to forget, although knowing me, I will end up getting hurt just typing this email. So apparently we have a lot of klutzes listening to us today.
I'll tell you, we do a lot of phone topics on this show, and it seems like our listeners have done everything. But when we get to injuring yourself in stupid ways, we could go on for days.
Let's start with Paul. Paul's on line six, and I think he sort of has a sports injury to tell us about.
All right. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thanks. Sports injury?
So I injured myself. I dislocated my kneecap while watching the Laker game on my couch.
What?
I'm not sure that's a sports injury. Sort of a sports injury. How do you get hurt sitting on your couch watching TV?
I don't know. I mean, it was a good play. I jumped up to cheer for it, and next thing you know, my knees popped out, and I'm on the floor, like, screaming in pain.
Is this a previous injury that you did, playing football or something? You've never happened to you before?
Never happened to me. It's happened since, but now I don't watch sports anymore.
Well, I'm sure the sports were the problem. Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you very much, Paul. Let's go to Sean. Sean is on line seven. This is going to be a tough one for you to hear, guys.
All right. Hey, Sean.
Morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
How'd you hurt yourself in a dumb way?
Oh, so I was in the middle of, it was in high school, and I was taking a AP test, and the tests are very strict, like no talking, no nothing. So very quiet environment.
Right.
My pencil breaks, and no joke. My pencil breaks, and the piece of the lead, which I just sharpened before the test, jabs into my eye.
What?
Were you erasing something? How did it go up to your eye?
My pen broke. Like, my pencil broke as I was, like, writing on this, like, writing on the Scantron.
And it happened to go right into your eye?
The whole tip entered my eye. The test, like, everyone had to stop the test. My school called the ambulance. I had to be taken to the hospital. Everyone's tests had to be collected.
Some people will do anything to get out of taking a test.
Oh, my gosh. I was a savior for, like, half the class.
Wow. Was there any kind of permanent injury to your eye?
You know what? Thankfully, I was not. I was taken to, like, a really good hospital, and they had, like, some ocular surgeon that was there, and, like, he was like, you know, like, you're going to be just fine. So
that's amazing.
Thankfully, it wasn't too bad.
Crazy story. Thank you very much for the call, Sean. Appreciate that. You can always contact us on Twitter, too, at Kevin and Bean. That's what Karen did. I was unloading silverware from the dishwasher, and I threw my back out. My legs buckled, and I fell, impaling my chin with a fork.
Oh, my God. This is nuts.
Apparently, the world is too dangerous to live in, you guys.
That's amazing we get through those.
Let's try Teresa. Hi, Teresa.
Hello.
What did you do?
Well, it is kind of around Halloween,
and I was trying to climb from one window to the other because there was no way to get to it. It was just two flight of stairs, like down.
For what? So to put up decorations?
I put up a pirate flag, yeah, in the window.
Sure, yeah.
And so
we've all done that.
I was reaching over. I fell back, of course, and landed on the stairs. Luckily, I landed straight on my feet and rolled down.
Right.
But when I got up, I couldn't stand because both were bruised. So
both feet. Wow.
Yeah, we're bruised, so I crawled back up the stairs. And
did you make up a different?
It was a week before I started a new job, too.
All right. She shows up in crutches.
Thank you for the call, Teresa. Kevin, I'd like to hear you ask another caller, what did you do? That was such a beautiful flashback.
Thanks, Pete.
I mean, seriously.
Lisa looked up and started laughing quietly.
Let's talk to John real quick. John is on line 8. Now, here's the thing. You would think that laying on the floor, how can you hurt yourself? You can't fall from being on the floor. What went wrong, John?
Well, good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
You know, we should have been asking people. Sorry, John, just one second. Were they drinking?
Oh, that's a good point.
Because I'd be willing to bet that.
But a lot of these 75% don't sound like. A lot of them, like the guy taking the test or the woman emptying the dishwasher, those don't sound like drinking activities.
John, were you drinking?
No, I was sober. All right. I was laying on the floor and got up, took a step, rolled my ankle so severely that I ended up snapping a tendon in my ankle.
Oh, my God.
It sounded like a bunch of twigs being snapped at once.
Oh.
I ended up being on crutches and having an ankle brace for 2 weeks.
And this was just getting up from lying on the floor?
This was getting up lying on the floor, and next thing I know, I'm at the emergency room because my ankle is the size of a golf ball.
See, people don't get off the floor. That's the takeaway.
It is amazing that we so often, and thank you for the call, John, we appreciate it. We so often in so many stories are amazed at how resilient the human body is, how much you're capable of overcoming and how much you can heal from. I mean, it really is incredible. And then there are other times where your body just sucks.
Yeah.
Or it just lets you down. Let me close with this email from Hernandez because I think this one's going to be tough to beat. Hi, Kevin and Bean. I threw my back out trying to masturbate. I had the porn up on my computer. I bucked my hips to unbutton my pants and threw my back out. Then I had to yell out. My mom ran into my room. I hadn't closed the porn on my computer in time. My mom was laughing the whole time I was there writhing in pain. That is a bad combination of events, my friend.
But did he finish first?
Well, I don't think so. I doubt it. I think between the back and the mom, I think that's a big N-O. Okay. Just one more. Kenny writes in, good morning, party people. I was sitting on the floor. I was too lazy to take my sock off the normal way, so I grabbed it at the toe and pulled. It was really freaking hard to get my foot out of the way, but I kept pulling as hard as I could. Finally, my foot popped out of the sock, and my heel smashed me right in the nuts at about 100 miles an hour.
Sweet.
All I could do was curl up into a little ball of shame.
Yes.
P.S. Fire beer mug. Yes, hey. Indeed. Fire beer mug. Hey, Ralph Garman is out today, but we are very pleased to welcome our good friend Ted Stryker to the show.
Thanks.
He's going to be filling out on the showbiz beat for the rest of the program. What's going on, Ted?
Well, there's actually not a lot going on in entertainment, but I have some stories here. Russell Brand apparently hates the fact that Katy Perry is dating John Mayer because if you look at the history of John Mayer and his dating,
yes. This
guy has tackled every single hot girl in Hollywood, so I think this is pretty much jealousy right here. But I have some of the girls John Mayer has dated, and he must be A, awesome in the sack, and B, great at texting. Because he probably... So, Jennifer Aniston.
Yep. Yes.
Minka Kelly.
Yep.
Jessica Simpson.
Yep. Come on.
Taylor Swift. Jennifer Love Hewitt. And, of course, Katy Perry. Good God,
not
man.
Bad.
That's ridiculous.
And he doesn't stay with any of them.
He doesn't. No. That's the thing.
Let me ask you this, Ted, because we have this discussion all the time. It would be devastating for you or me to lose Katy Perry. Like, we would never get over, oh, my God, I used to be with Katy Perry, but now I'm not. But doesn't it seem like Russell Brand has moved on to 10 other chicks just as hot as Katy Perry since? Why would he still be pining away for her, do you think?
Probably because he just saw the green dress she was wearing at the award show the other day. And her huge, giant boobs were showed off with her perfectly shaped eyeballs. And she was showing off while Ellen DeGeneres checked those things out.
She has eyeballs?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen those
I didn't notice. No.
Kevin's never seen her face.
I've never seen
eyeballs.
Her face.
Her eyeballs are well-shaped, as are her breasts.
Okay. I've never really heard of well-shaped eyeballs,
ever.
But okay.
They're very well.
Okay.
Shaped.
I'm not arguing with you.
I just... Clive Davis, one of the most historic music producers and music executives of all time, has put out a book. It's called The Soundtrack of My Life. He's 80 years old. He is pretty much responsible, everyone, from Whitney Hughes and Alicia Keys. He's worked with Bruce Springsteen. He's been married twice. In the book, he says he's bisexual, and he's had a long-term relationship with a doctor for at least 10 years now.
Wow. That's a shocker. Kind of a surprise to learn of somebody's sexual orientation at age 80, but he says he really is split down the middle. Like, he's equally attracted to men and women, right?
Yes, he is.
That's interesting.
And he's not shy about it at 80, but I wonder what his kids are thinking, and I'm wondering if they ever knew that he liked a man's package as much as a woman's.
Yeah, I don't know. That's bizarre.
And they're perfectly shaped testicles.
Hey, more power to him, by the way, for putting out a book and not covering up an important part of his life story. I mean, I'm impressed by that.
And part of that book, Kelly Clarkson is very upset. She is blasting Clive Davis because she's saying that he has all the stories wrong. He claimed that Kelly Clarkson went bananas when she found out her huge song, Since You've Been Gone, was going to be on one particular album. She cried and sobbed. But that's not true. And Clive Davis says it is. So she's pissed at Clive Davis, and she's calling him out on that.
Okay.
Bean, this is just for you, so only one person will be interested. Bean,
in
1792, Bean, on this day. Yes, the federal postal system was created.
What, on today's date?
Yes.
Come on, man. And this is a huge week for me because Monday was the anniversary of Pluto's discovery. So I am having nothing but cake at my house all week long. Are you kidding me? This is happy times.
Aren't they releasing clothes now?
Yes, the United States Postal Service is coming out with their own line of clothing in 2014. This is just, the world is just getting better and better every day.
I know what I'm going to get Bean for Christmas this year.
Don't buy it. He'll have everything.
Yeah. And this story is This is just for Kevin now. Kevin.
Yes.
A New Jersey company is recalling its all-natural male enhancement pill called Superpower.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I can't get that back out of my system.
It has an undeclared ingredient in there.
Undeclared? Is it horse meat? Because that's in the news a lot these days.
Undeclared ingredient.
I don't know what the hell is
that. That's a great band.
All right, celebrating birthdays today. Charles Barkley is 50. What else is going on? Cindy Crawford looks fantastic. She's 47. Andrew Hsu, who loves soccer and was on Melrose Place, is 46. Brian Luttrell, Backstreet Boys, is 38. Jay Hernandez is 35. And that lady Rihanna is 25. I am Stryker, and I have just ruined the show.
Give me the creepiest theme on television, would you please? I don't know what it is about this, but it sounds like bad things are going to happen to somebody, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Southland is the show, Wednesday nights at 10 on TNT. It's one of our absolute favorites now, and its fifth season just came back last week. So happy to welcome one of the stars of the show, Michael Cudlitz, in studio with us here on K-Rock. Hey, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you, sir?
I'm awesome. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
So great to see you again. You know, it's funny. We love your show, as you know, and have since the beginning. We were just talking a couple weeks ago. We're like, where the hell is Southland? Why is Southland not coming back? And boom, there it was.
Boom.
Thank God. It seems like, for whatever reason, it seems like it's been gone a super long time.
It's been a long time.
Like a year.
Has it been longer than usual, right?
Has it been a year?
It's been a year and a month. Just
That's
to
a
confuse
long
everybody.
Time.
It is a long time.
That is a long time.
Stop that.
Which part?
But waiting, making us wait that long.
Well, we're trying, you know. Those are all corporate decisions.
Are you trying to make it good or something? Is that what's happening?
No, I think they're trying to make people forget where it is so that every year it's like a completely brand new experience.
You have to start again.
Sure. It's like, I remember a show called Southland.
Is this what anything like that was?
It's almost exactly the same thing.
Hey, I think that guy was on it.
Exactly. All those guys, they haven't aged a day.
I will tell you that we get frustrated year after year when the nominations start coming out for the Golden Globes and for the Emmys and everything, because for whatever reason, Southland to me is the great undiscovered, overlooked gem on television. And I don't know if you guys feel that when you're making the show, but don't you feel like it's the type of show that should be winning awards? It's that good.
That's for you guys to say. We're in a situation where the cast, we have an amazing time working together, and we're really, honestly, it's about making the best show possible, sort of fulfilling the dream of the show and the vision of the show, and we have a blast doing it. And you know, if all those award things and all those other things are something completely out of our control.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Why waste the energy on it? We're just going to focus on doing the show that we do and having a blast, because this is a time in our lives where we are not going to have this kind of creative you know, freedom that we have on the show for a very long time, and certainly not with, you know, the people that are involved in this.
We talk a lot about TV shows and TV shows that we like, especially, and TV shows that we like that go away because nobody's watching them. Drives us crazy. But we talk about Southland as being one of those dramas that you have to see. Now you're in your fifth season.
Yeah.
I imagine the other four are out on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever.
They did come out on DVD. I guess the first season's available on DVD, and the second, third, and fourth season just came out on DVD about a week ago.
If you haven't seen Southland, catch up. It is great.
And we should talk about what's going on in the show, because there have been a million cop shows on television over the decades. I don't know that any, I mean, maybe I'm naive in saying this. This one seems like the most realistic of all of them, just in terms of really kind of putting you in the cop car with the guys and having no idea what they're encounter day to day, minute to minute. I mean, what a crazy job it is that you guys explain every week.
Well, that was the idea of when they started the show. They wanted to sort of recreate the emotional experience that the officers have when they're in the car. And John Wells always says that, you know, in one aspect, the show is not new, because the crimes are not new. The crimes are the crimes. But the way we
and cop shows
story,
are cop shows. But
But the way we tell the stories, you know, in our situation are new. And it's not about solving the crime. It's more about seeing how the crime affects the officers and how those, you know, sort of inner partnership relationships work and how you take that stuff home.
And I've said this before, but when I'm calling the police, I don't know. Do I want you showing up with the dude that just got back from Iraq, who has no idea what he's doing? He's just a cop so he can make some money, and he seems to be a little confused, and you're angry. I don't know.
I'm just misunderstood.
Everyone.
Talk to me about this. This is the voice of Michael Cudlitz, actor from Southland, tonight on TNT here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talk to me about, because I'm sure you have a lot of police officer friends or people that you consult with that work on the show. How much do they bring home? Is this the type of job where they're able to turn it off and not be laying in bed at 11 o'clock at night and think about that kid that fell down the well that they were working on earlier today, or whatever it is?
Look, first off, I don't do that job. I'm not a cop.
What?
So I speak from
get out.
I speak from what they tell me. I'm not trying. I'm not an expert
though
on this. No, it seems to me that what they're able to do is sort of compartmentalize these things. And when they are on duty, you know, in dealing with these things, they don't let things in as deeply as you or I might when we're dealing with something. It's really just, you know, the old story, just the facts, ma'am.
Seems like that would be a lifelong battle.
Yeah, I imagine. And I think some are better at it and some are not so good at it. And I think some, it destroys their lives. It's a rough job, and it definitely takes a toll. You can see it when you deal with the different personalities that we deal with on a daily basis. But they're all trying to do a great job, and they're really amazing people.
It's funny you talk about destroys their lives. We've talked a lot about cops and what kind of job they do and what perils they have to face and how much money they make for that. It doesn't seem like it's enough. You don't think that along the way it's also messing with their minds and is going to be trouble for the rest of their lives.
Sure. It's erosion. That. You know, how many times, you know, nobody calls the cops because they're happy.
That's true.
Right.
I mean,
if they do, they get arrested.
Oh, that was awesome. Let's call the cops.
911? Yeah, I'm feeling great today. Just want to let you know.
And look, any job where you deal with the public, but in particular being a police officer, whereas you point out, the people you encounter are usually in a bad spot. I would imagine it would change the way you look at humans. Like, you would really be down on humanity if you only deal with people who are causing you trouble or trying to kill you every day.
Yep.
It's also amazing to me how often on your show, and I'd love to, maybe one day we need to have some real cops call in, because I'd love to know how often you show up at a call and somebody or everybody is naked. Because that seems to happen a lot on your show too, Michael. And not
that
in a
happens
good
at
way.
Work. Wait, what? Work? I'm sorry, what?
Huh? What?
Because naked is funny.
Naked is funny.
Naked is funny no matter what's going down. Actually, I think the more severe the incident, the nakeder, the funnier.
There must be one guy who works at Southland whose job it is to blur out all the body parts. And that dude will never be out of work.
There's
a lot of
We're still trying to figure out why they in the first episode, they blurred out all the women's butts, yet all the dudes' butts were hanging out there.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, we're trying to do the math on that.
That's some BS.
That's some corporate corporate genius
men's
going
butts
on there.
Just aren't they're
sexy.
Just, they're not sexy. They're just funny.
I'll take either one, you know, but don't blur either or the other.
What if kind you're of, gonna blur one of the sexes? Blur the men, because women are pretty. For the most part.
What kind of channel do you have to be on to not blur the boobs? Because that's my complaint with
Spice.
TNT.
It's got to be on Spice.
Or HBO.
Playboy.
Michael Cudlitz is here. We're talking about Wednesday nights at 10, only episode 2 of season number 5 airing tonight. And you can even go to the website if you want to watch episode 1. So you are not too late to jump on the bandwagon because it's pulling out of the station, kids. Southland is back. And we'll talk more with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Talking about one of our favorite shows, Southland. It is Wednesday nights at 10 on TNT. Officer John Cooper in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is actor Michael Cudlitz. John Cooper has his own fans out there, people who have been following him all along, and he's getting into a dark place right now, isn't he?
He is. Yes.
What's going on with Coop?
Coop's upset.
He's
got
a mess.
Some anger issues.
No, John is actually sort of getting his act together in one way.
When do we see that?
Well, in one way. I think he's now, you know, sort of looking at his life with clear eyes, and he's sort of dealing with his addiction issues and pain issues, you know, and physically he's back on track, but now he sort of can clearly look at how sort of truly screwed up his life.
Yeah. Sometimes that insight is just depressing.
Well, he's looking back at his career, and he's really starting to, you know, this season is going to be about him really seeing, you know, last year we touched on it a little bit, like what kind of legacy do you leave as an officer after you spent so much time in the force? Have you made a difference in, you know, in the community, in your own life, and the people's lives around you? And John's looking around and not really sure what sort of impact he's had. And if it is all as positive as he intended it to be, and if his ride has been the ride that he has sort of talked himself into thinking it was.
He realizes he's on the backside of his career. Like you said, he's worried about his legacy.
I don't think I like your attitude. What does that mean?
Yeah,
I mean, he's got more years on the force behind him than he does ahead of him.
He's not the young guy anymore. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he's not the young guy. He can start to think about retirement one day anyway.
Yes, no, he definitely is on the further to the end than the beginning.
And they're pushing Ben McKenzie's character. They're pushing him way further the other direction, where he's getting awards and it's going to his head, it seems like.
Well, the interesting thing is you know, we start out looking at the police force, you know, through he's our entry point, you know,
the rookie,
much like Noah Wiley was in ER. He's the, you know, he's how the audience comes into this world. And, you know, you think he's the wide-eyed kid, but there were always these sort of signs throughout that, you know, he had, you know, sort of issues dealing with his anger and, you know, a little fly off the handle and checking thing. There were all these sort of signs there, you know, in there. Now it's, you know, within the show and his choice as to which direction he's going to go. And sometimes this job does pull out those things in those people. So I think it's fascinating to see, you know, that somebody so quickly can go in that direction. And then, you know, but just as quickly as he went in that direction, can he be saved?
Yeah.
You know.
Cops sure love strippers. That's one thing I've learned from Southland. I'll tell you
Who doesn't love a good stripper?
Well, that's a good point.
I mean,
am I the only one applauding?
I wonder about retired police officers.
And they love strippers too.
No. I'm sure of that. And I know you're an actor. Again, Michael, I'm not asking you to speak for the real police, but I wonder if it's an adrenaline junkie job like being in the NFL. And when you retire, I imagine that's a very difficult transition to all of a sudden not having that heart race every few minutes.
No, I've heard that. We have Joe McCraney is actually playing. He joined our show and he's doing a few episodes. He's playing my retired training officer, and that is the story that they're telling, is that, you know, what happens afterwards when, you know, you do not have this adrenaline rush every day, you are not doing this thing that you lived your whole life to do, you know, and all of a sudden what happens when it goes quiet?
Yeah.
How do you process that? And there are healthy ways to process it and not so healthy ways to process it.
Paging Officer Dorner. Paging Officer Dorner. Let me play one clip from the TV show Southland. This is from the premiere, which was last Wednesday night at 10. I don't know why Omar thought we were on until noon, Kevin. We're not going to have time to play the whole clip, but let's get into it a little bit. Now, this is you and your partner. This is Cooper and his partner on Southland. They get a call that there's somebody being held hostage or being shot up on a roof or something like that. And it turns out that it's a bunch of people making a movie. And I'm sure stuff like this happens all the time in Southern California. People are making a movie, and then the neighbor sees something going on at the house and they call the police. Here's what happens when you guys show up.
857, neighbor reports seeing a man brandishing a knife through the window of a house.
857 shows code 6.
Hey!
Jerry!
Don't shoot!
It's a joke. I'm sure the final cut will be. Get up, numbnuts. Almost had a real nightmare on your hands.
Told you, Jerry. We should have told the neighbors.
I wanted their real reactions. It sucks when things look fake.
You know what else sucks, Jerry? It sucks when people are robbed and raped while the cops are out dealing with a bunch of rich kids who are making a C-minus horror flick because they think it's going to make them famous.
Yeah. You know what sucks?
Yeah,
Jerry.
That sucks, Jerry.
Yeah, I don't want that cop yelling at me at my house. I'll tell you that.
Nope.
Great work, Michael Cutlets. We love your show so much, man. We're so happy you're back on.
Thank
Seriously.
You. I love you guys'
but
support.
First, before you go, a question. What the hell is Boom?
Boom.
I was looking at his tweet this morning.
She's going to love this now.
Chrissy, this is it.
Chrissy Keel.
Michael Boom. Cutlets just tweets Boom, B-O-O-M, with 3 exclamation points. No reference, point of reference, no anything.
So my coffee person says when she drops down her coffees in the morning.
She says Boom.
Boom. What else do you have?
And boom goes the dynamite.
I don't know. I don't know. I just found it weird. You don't see that as weird?
No.
Nobody else knows the backstory.
No, they don't even care.
All right.
That's the joy of Twitter.
Michael Cutlets again, Wednesdays at 10 on TNT at Southland. Thanks for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Wednesday. Wow, it's Wednesday already. Where's the week going? We're going to hook you up with perhaps a trip to Mexico City to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's destination number 6 of the KROQ World Tour 2013. Your chance to qualify in about a half an hour or so from right now here on the world famous KROQ. Is our friend Kevin Smith on the phone yet?
He is.
Mr. Hello, Smith. Folks. What's going on?
I got a quick story for you that has to do with you guys. So my wife's parents live with us. I think I've spoken about that before.
Right.
In the mornings, generally speaking, but Byron, my father-in-law, takes my daughter Harley to her bus stop. It's only about 5 minutes away from the house. When they're away, they live in Hawaii part-time. When they're gone, I take the kid in the morning, and when they're here, Byron takes her. So Byron's taking the kid to the bus stop yesterday morning. And he comes home. After he gets home, he comes in my office, knocks on the door, man. And he has this haunted look on his face. And I go, what's up? And he goes, I was driving the kid to the bus stop, and Harley put on the radio. And I don't know how else to say this to you, but did you fight an owl or something? Because they weren't here. They were in Hawaii when that all happened, man.
When Owlman was born? We had a caller yesterday who brought up you being Owlman and that incredible story that you told us about how you rescued your little dog from a predator in the sky.
He said him and the kid were sitting there listening to the radio, like, in silence, and the kid's heard the story already.
Right.
So he's looking at her like, what? And Harley is just nodding, and the bus is pulling up, so she's getting out of the car. And again, the last thing she said before she left is she rolls her eyes. She goes, my father, the dork knight.
Kevin, I suspect, and I think you knew the morning you came in, because remember, you were in studio with us the day that you clowned that owl. I suspect that it's going to be the thing you're most remembered for. People aren't going to be talking about your movies. They're not going to be talking about your way too hot wife. They're going to be talking about he's the dude that served an owl. That's what's going to be on your tombstone.
To be fair, they don't talk about my movies now. So if they put that, I'd be okay with that. Like, here lies Kevin Smith. He was a good guy, made Clerks once, and then fought an owl.
Fought an owl.
Here's the call that they may have heard. This guy has made up a theme song for Owlman.
No.
So maybe you need to have this.
It's Kevin Smith! Owl puncher! Gonna defend your dog against birds of prey, Kevin Smith! Owl puncher, you're too fat to fly, but your dog will gladly die. Kevin Smith, owl puncher. Owl beat that.
how did I miss that one, man?
Owl
I'll be back.
That was there for the taking. I wish that theme song would play for me every time I walk into a room.
You know, I know that you're in love with the hockey jersey that you wear. And by the way, that's the only item in your closet now. That's it. That's the only thing you wear, right?
Over and over again.
And there's only, one.
There's only one. So if it's in the wash, Kevin Smith is sitting around shirtless. But I think you need to have the owl owl costume made up, dude. I think you need to start wearing some sort of an owl man costume everywhere you go, because that's your thing now.
Literally in the Watchmen and the book, not so much the movie. Dan. Dryden, who plays the Night Owl. Is it Night Owl?
I don't know.
Where's Ralph? He should be backing me up.
Yeah, he's out today. He's out today, yeah.
Is he really? Yeah. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. We figured it had something to do with you.
What, I got him sick?
We just figured you guys were probably doing something today. That's why he couldn't be here today. We just assumed it was work-related.
Here's a very sidetracked Ralph story. I went out to eat with my in-laws the other night. It was Jennifer's mom's birthday. So we went to Katsuya, and we're all sitting around the table. It's me and my wife and my daughter and Byron and Gail. And there's a woman who passes us heading to the bathroom, and it looks like Ralph's wife. It's Carrie. So I turn and I look, and it's Carrie, and I go, "Hey, Carrie," and she didn't hear me. So I'm scanning the restaurant.
She heard you, by the way.
She just kept going. I said, "If she's here, maybe Ralph's here." And sure enough, I find Ralph sitting off in a corner, like not facing me, so he didn't see us come in, or he didn't see me. So I go over, and I immediately just kind of like, there's a waiter stand there. He moves, and I sit down. I go, "So anyway, like I was saying," and his head snaps up. And for a moment, Ralph had this moment of like, "Oh my God, was I here with Kevin? Like, I really screwed with his head. It was awesome." But I never see Ralph in the real world. I see him there.
No one does.
I see him at, at Hollywood Babylon. But it was so enjoyable to see Ralph in the wild sitting there eating sushi.
That's hilarious.
Kevin Smith, he's out, man. He had some sushi, some not bad sushi.
That could be. Sushi. Kevin Smith is on the phone. That Kevin Smith is the Twitter account, smodcast.com. He also is going to be at the Laugh Factory Hollywood tonight. Now, I know you do a lot of podcasts, but Jay and Silent Bob Get Old is one of the most popular. Tell me what's going on tonight that people want to come see.
Tonight at the Laugh Factory, when we do Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, this is the second time we've done it on the Sunset Strip at the Laugh Factory. Really great time last time. Last time I talked about the owl and whatnot. This time I'm probably going to be talking about... there's a lot of Clerks 3 hubbub this week. I was on a show called What's Trending, and I was like, I've been thinking about writing Clerks 3 as a serialized novel online. And I think about doing it a lot of ways, and I talk about it. Like this morning, I'm like, today Clerks 3 takes the form of a giant moving slur or something like that. but yesterday, or when I did the What's Trending show the other night, that was Friday night, I was on it with Lisa Kudrow and Bernie, the guy that does the Machinima stuff. And we were talking about like new media, and I was like, "Well, I've thought about doing Clerks 3 this way." I said, "I can't do Clerks 3 until Jeff Anderson says I'm in. I want to do it." So I want to mark the 20th anniversary, which is coming up in 2014. So I keep trying to think of ways to mark it without making the movie without the guy I need.
Right.
So one of the ways I thought about was like, do it as a novel, like totally write the novel, get inside the characters' heads, and I'm like, if Silent Bob on a movie, you just see him make expressions. In a book, I could go inside the inner life and stuff like that. And then I talked about doing it serialized online so people could read it piece by piece, and then a bunch of people start writing like, "Oh, this is ridiculous." And some people thought it was a cool idea. So tonight we're going to talk about that and what Jay's role in all of that would be as we sit there, as we normally do on Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. We talk in an effort to keep Muse away from the heroin and the
Oxycontin. Got to keep him busy.
We talk about his game.
Why does Jeff not want to do it, if you can speak to that, Kevin? Because it seems like it would be something that would be a significant anniversary for him as well.
Absolutely. Jeff, to be fair, the second time around, Jeff was like, I don't know if we should do this. He's going, look, I don't know what else we'll ever do in life, but we all got Clerks. Clerks mean something to people.
Right.
If we do it too and it stinks, like we've ruined the legacy, blah, blah, blah. I said, trust me, I won't. Like this is my child. I won't let it stink. Like it'll be wonderful. And so when we did Clerks 2, like it was a haul to get him to the starting line. Once we got into it, he loved it. Like he loved making it and whatnot. So now a few years later, he's like, well, that was such a great experience. He's going, I just don't feel the need to make a Clerks 3 right now. He's going, I understand the anniversary's coming.
So you're starting all over from scratch again.
But it's worth it because he keeps you honest. Like there won't be any fat in the script because he's kind of the guy you gotta not get through to make the movie, but like if he's in place of a studio going, you should do this, you should do this, or giving you notes, you got Jeff keeping you honest. And I'll always take that because then it won't suck, you know.
Well,
but it'll take time to convince him.
Now, if you write this story as a novel, let me just get back to that idea.
Okay.
2,000 pages?
It will just be ongoing. Dude. Like, for example,
it'll never end.
The first chapter is already about 28 pages, and it's just Dante and Randall meeting in kindergarten.
Yeah. You know, you win on any disagreement with an actor at this point, Kevin, because you can always hire the Tupac hologram, right? I mean, you've always got the Tupac hologram to fill in for anyone who won't do your movie.
At the end of the day, totally. I mean, I could always be like, look, it's not going to look like you, but we're going to use a hologram of you from 1994 and revoice them out.
Kevin Smith is on stage at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood tonight. He's the most entertaining guy on stage that you can see for $20 on a Wednesday night. Trust me on that. You can go to csmod.com, S-E-E-S-M-O-D, csmod.com, Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. That's Jason Mewes and Kevin Smith back together again, and it's tonight at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. Don't forget, Comic Book Man airs Thursday nights at 9 on AMC as well. Kevin, always great to talk to you, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
I'll be back. I'll be back.
I like that song half as much if it doesn't have a cowbell.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cowbell
makes it.
Makes that song.
Totally.
106.7 K-Rock is KRQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 3 minutes till 9.
Ralph Garman is out today. He might be with Joe Rogan. We're not 100% sure on that, but Ted Stryker is here filling on with the Showbiz Beat here on K-Rock. What's going on, Ted?
Well, a lot is going on, but not really. First of all, thanks for having me on the show, and I said this before, and I say it all. You guys do the best. I'm so jealous of how good you guys are, because it's just such a good show.
You're not listening, really.
No, I listen all the time. I can't believe I work here with you guys, but I never see you.
You are hilarious.
You are a funny, funny guy.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard, Ted. Well done. What an actor you are.
Haven't you seen Sushi Girl Bean, which is out on DVD now?
I haven't yet. I apologize.
That's right. 100,000 pre-orders of it now, Bean.
Of course.
It's very exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting.
Congratulations.
Thanks. My part is fairly small, but the movie is really good. Cool. And the people that made it worked very hard to put it out. All right, so there's so much Coachella hype. It is not too far away. But another huge festival that takes place in Tennessee, it's called the Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival. They just announced the lineup. And when I say they, Weird Al Yankovic specifically is the one that announced the lineup.
Is. Why am I the only one applauding? Come on.
I'm applauding.
Because you're the only one that's excited about Weird Al that much.
Da-da-da-da-da. I like Weird Al,
I do,
Kevin.
Too.
Yes.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Like but not is like, normal.
You don't know Bean's love.
He loves Pluto and Weird Al in the post office.
He stalks.
Weird Al is the best human ever, okay. And I give it up to Bonnaroo for having him not only make the announcement, but also be one of the acts that is going to be performing in Tennessee this summer. That's awesome that he's doing it.
I bet so many people are going to be rolling on drugs for Weird Al.
Sure.
Yeah. Right, Bean?
We got to roll.
Mumford & Sons, Bjork, Weird Al, Macklemore, and Ryan Lewis, Foles, Tom Petty, Paul McCartney headlining, and that is your lineup, June 13th through 16th in Tennessee for the Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival. All right, Bean, I'm not trying to suck up to you, but I know you love Alison Brie from Community.
Oh, dear. Stop making that noise.
God, she was on Jimmy Fallon.
This is the best Showbiz Beat ever because Weird Al is my favorite guy in the world, and Alison Brie is my favorite girl in the world. This doesn't get any better.
I can see the tweets coming. Quit sucking up to Bean, and I don't like your AIS commercials. I don't do the AIS commercials.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
What's going on with my girlfriend, Alison Brie?
She was on Jimmy Fallon. She knows how to freestyle. She freestyled on Fallon. I think we have it. It went like this.
Okay. Here we go. We're talking about Community, and you're gonna laugh so much you won't have immunity. You're catching a comedy cold, 'cause we're bold. If you ain't sold, then now you've been told about Troy and Oven. Getting inside your head, taking sheets from your bed to make a fort. If you don't watch the show, I'm taking you to court. My name is Ali Brie. I'm on Community Thursday nights on NBC.
Yeah!
That's
right.
Oh, she's the best.
Very good.
She's the best. I love her so much.
She's no Jay-Z. Take it easy.
No, but it's hilarious that she's this beautiful white chick who's out there freestyle rapping with Questlove. I love that.
Anytime you can get Questlove involved, putting down a beat, I think that's all right.
That's a great thing.
But if I were rapping, it wouldn't be the same.
No, it would not.
No, it would not.
Because you're not a beautiful white woman.
That's
on Community.
Correct. That's correct.
You're a beautiful white man, Kevin.
Right, thank you.
I think we must recognize that today would have been Kurt Cobain's, and this is nuts, 46th birthday?
Oh, wow.
46 years old. He was,
you think he'd be fat?
No, I don't.
You don't think he'd be
no,
fat?
I think he might be fat.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Because I think he'd be off heroin.
Okay.
Because he'd be 46.
Yeah. Right.
And then he'd be eating.
But he would be touring like crazy. He would be playing. He would be a
Maybe.
Music head still.
I hope.
He would be wearing... Would he still be wearing flannel?
I doubt that.
So he died April 5th, 1994. In that same year, Justin Bieber was born.
Oh.
Just think Recognize. About that for a minute. What do you guys think Dave Grohl would have been in 2013 if Kurt oh. Cobain wouldn't have died? Would he have been on the same crazy path?
I think...
Probably not.
Oh, I think Dave Grohl would have been doing what he's doing now.
You do?
Yeah. I think he would have split off from Nirvana. I think he had had an ass full of Nirvana by the time he left.
It's
really
amazing
do.
The path Grohl has been on. I mean, I feel like he's one of those guys that's once in a lifetime, someone in our life. It was his destiny to do what he does. There's nothing he should be doing other than making this music, directing movies.
Right.
He's funny. He can chew gum and play guitar. A-hole.
Yeah. He's the best.
Yeah, the best.
And he didn't... he had a lot of high, you know, great moments with Nirvana, but didn't love it overall. I mean, he was kind of picked on a little bit and didn't feel at mm-hmm. home, and I think he would have left anyway.
Nevermind has sold over 30 million records,
wow.
by the way. Celebrating a birthday today, Sidney Poitier is 86 years old. Charles Barkley, Hall of Famer, is 50. French Stewart, with his squinty eyes, is 49. Cindy Crawford is 47. Andrew Shue, who I loved on Melrose Place. I know
I
he loves... I would like to take him for a corned beef sandwich. Where is Andrew Shue?
What does that mean? Take him for a corned beef sandwich.
I just feel like if you go eat deli sandwiches, it's a relaxing environment in a booth and you eat pickles.
It's just bonding.
Yeah. Kevin, in West Hollywood, they know what go for a corned beef sandwich with pickles means, all right?
Got it.
Rihanna and I will not go eat Reuben. She is 25 years old. I'm Stryker, and I just ruined the showbiz beat.
You know how we loves us the UFC? Well, UFC 157 is happening this Saturday night on pay-per-view. One of the fights at the Honda Center in Anaheim is the Women's Bantamweight Championship. Our friend Ronda Rousey is going to be on the bill, you guys, fighting Liz Caramouche. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch them fight, but Stewie and Brian from The Family Guy did not enjoy it.
Okay, wait, so what is this now?
Just watch.
Ready? Why are we taping my reaction?
Just watch.
Okay, they're lesbians, clearly. We are underway.
Wait. No.
Oh, what is wrong with you? Oh, my God.
A good arm bar is hard to watch.
Very hard to watch. Rhonda, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
I'm great. I've been doing so much media lately. This is the first thing I've really been excited about. I've been listening to you guys since I was a kid.
Why are you on the phone and not here?
Because I'm still in bed. I haven't even rolled out of bed yet, and that would require me to put on clothes and leave.
Leave at least.
I think we are on too early for a lot of people. I think that's the problem. Hey, for folks who don't follow fighting, explain what the armbar is, because as Kevin mentioned, it's very difficult to look at on your TV sometimes.
Well, in judo, it's called a jujikatami. It's the one that I usually use, is a straight arm lock, and you pretty much pull the person's arm in between your legs, and you have your two legs over their torso. And you hold the arm to your chest, and then you arch your back farther than the elbow can go.
Yeah.
So the elbow goes 180 degrees, and your back goes farther than that. So then it, like, dislocates the joint if the person doesn't give up. If they do give up, you let them go, and everyone's happy.
And that has been remarkably effective. I mean, that's a go-to move for you, right, Rhonda?
Yeah, I was actually lucky enough. My mom was the first American to win the world championships in judo, and she thought it'd be a great idea to jump on me some most mornings and
really
make me armbar her out of sleep. So, like most normal kids, I learned that kind of thing.
I got to be honest, I was not woken up that way as a kid.
I just had an alarm clock that worked out fine for me. Tell me what the transition is like. Well, first of all, tell me what your reaction was when you heard that Strikeforce was going away and you were being folded into UFC. Was this something that was exciting to you? Do you feel like, hey, this is a great opportunity to be on a bigger stage, or did it not make that much difference, not much change? Tell me about that.
I was actually pretty excited about it because I got told that I was moving into the UFC at the same time I was told that Strikeforce was closing. So there wasn't like a point where I heard about Strikeforce and then was worried and then heard about UFC later. So I kind of got the whole scoop all at once, which was kind of cool.
So it's like, hey, the bad news is you're being fired, but the good news is you've already been hired for another job.
I think it was in reverse like that. They're like, hey, we're going to bring you over to the UFC. And by the way, your old job is just destroyed.
Gotcha, gotcha. You don't have any choice. So
so you
I have no choice in the matter.
So this will be your first, the Honda Center Saturday night is going to be your first fight as a UFC fighter. And you go into it as the champion. I mean, you're the first champion in the UFC in this sport, in this, you know, the Women's Bantamweight Championship.
Yeah, when they dissolved the WEC into the UFC, they brought in the lighter division. So, like, Jose Aldo and Dominic Cruz are already the champs in WEC, and they just made them the UFC champs because they brought in a whole new division.
Right, gotcha.
A whole new division of the women, and they gave me the belt right away. But to be honest, I'm not going to consider myself the UFC champion until I actually win a fight in the octagon. So this is an extremely important match for me.
No kidding. And also kind of being a local fight, too, for you must kind of make it extra special as well.
Yeah, it's around the corner. I have so many like friends and family coming. The only thing is I am so used to traveling to go fight, so I wasn't used to everyone or thing like, hey, you got tickets for me? And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like wedding planning arrangements for everyone.
Do you have like new friends or friends that haven't talked to you in a long time or any of those people coming out of the woodwork?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course there's people coming up out of the woodwork. There's so many numbers that pop up. It's like, hey, man, it's been forever. Da, da, da. And that's
here's what I like is a lot of times they don't want to admit right up front that they're just calling you for tickets to the fight. So they make small talk.
That's right.
And then just before they hang up, they go, oh, by the way, is there something happening this weekend?
Oh, yeah. They butter me up first and
sure.
Then like lull me into a false sense of security.
This is the voice of the UFC's Ronda Rousey here on the Kevin Abeen Show. We're talking about UFC 157, which is going to be this Saturday night at 7 on pay-per-view, which, by the way, with an unbelievable lineup of other fights, too, including Machida versus Henderson is going to be that night, Faber versus Menhivar. I mean, it's a lot of great fights. I was fascinated to see in your bio that you used to work the graveyard shift at a 24-hour fitness, and I was wondering, somebody like you who obviously is so dedicated to fitness, you must have made people miserable with what you expected them to do. Did you scream at people all the time because you didn't feel like they were working out hard enough?
No, I wasn't a personal trainer. I ran the front desk. I didn't do anything except for sit there and read Lord of the Rings and drink coffee.
But did you work out? Were you able to work out then or no?
No, I didn't work out. I just had to sit there at the desk. In fact, they had a camera pointed at me at the desk to make sure that I didn't leave the desk for too long of a time.
Oh, my God.
Big Brother watched me.
That's not why the camera was pointed at you, Ron. I got news for you. It's not at all. How do you feel about your opponent, Liz Karamouche? Would she have been your first choice of who you wanted to fight this weekend?
I mean, there were a lot of girls I would like to fight, but Liz is the only one that wanted to fight. Everybody else turned it down. So the other girls either said that they wanted more time or they had other excuses or reasons. So Liz was the only one that was actively petitioning for it, like, every single day. My Twitter was just, I was being Twitter bombed by her. Her and me and Dana were just constantly full
wow.
of followers demanding this fight. And so when everybody else was like, give me a minute on that one, she was like, give me now. So if she's the only one that wants it, then she's the one that's going to get it.
That's really interesting. I wonder what that's – I mean, I'm sure she feels like that's how you make your name is by beating you, right? I mean, because you're undefeated, so that would – you know, everybody would be talking about her if she won. But, I mean, that also sounds a little scary because she obviously is that confident.
Yeah, it is a little bit intimidating. She served, like, 3 tours in Iraq. She's a U.S. Marine. She's not the type that I can get in her head and intimidate her beforehand like I usually can with all these other girls.
Is it going to be a close fight? How much do you know about her style? Is it going to be a good stylistic fight?
Yeah, one thing about Liz is she actually could have been the Strikeforce champion before me. She was brought in as a last-minute replacement to fight Marlo Kunin for the belt 8 days' notice, and everyone expected her to lose. And she just beat the hell out of Marlo for, like, 4 rounds straight, and everyone was shocked. And at the very end, she made a tiny mistake and got caught in a triangle and lost. And so she's very unpredictable, the type of person that you don't underestimate. So we train for a 5-round war.
Yeah.
I expected the first round to finish, I would have been sitting on my couch for the last month and a half.
I'll tell you, you watch The Ultimate Fighter or any of these other fighters where you have younger fighters, and they start fighting, and halfway through the first round, you can see them breathing heavy and their mouths are open. And it really takes an amazing amount of shape to make it through 5 5-minute rounds. How are you training for that?
I mean, you just have to not be specialized and train for everything. It's hard because MMA is like 5, 6, 7 sports all put into one, so it's a different kind of endurance. It's not like, you know, it's a 25-minute match isn't the same as running for 25 minutes.
No.
Both of its constant physical activity. It's just, and plus you have to be mentally aware of so many different things that it tires you out a whole lot more. So actually, we started out at this training camp up in Big Bear, and we did some altitude training up there at the Summit Gym, and we've just done a whole bunch of different things. I've been in 2 Olympics. I know how to train right now.
Yeah,
I think so. Well, we're very, very excited not only to have you on the show, but to be able to see you fight on this coming Saturday night. It sounds like you have found the dream job, Ron. It sounds like you love it, too.
I do. It's really cool. I like that it's in cycles, too, because it gets super, super intense, and then I get to chill out and hang out and do nothing for a while, then it gets super, super intense again. You know, it's this nothing plateau about it. It's either a whole lot of stimulation or just nothing at all.
Exactly. Well, you can follow Rhonda on Twitter, at Rhonda Rousey, of course, at UFC as well, RhondaMMA.com and UFC.com. UFC 157 is this Saturday night. We appreciate you listening to the show for all these years. It's great to have you on. I hope we can do it again.
Yeah, no problem. I grew up here, man. I'm a local girl. Of course I had to listen to you guys.
You had to.
I used to tape you guys a cassette.
Yeah, on cassette? I don't even recognize that word.
Yeah, thanks. No, I would get all of my mixes, my earliest workout mixes, I would steal from your station. And I would have all you guys' voices on it all the time. So
that's a little scary. So
that's hilarious. All right, Rhonda, good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you again, all right?
Thank you so much. Thank Bye-bye.
Ralph Garman is off today. Maybe he's with Joe Rogan. Maybe not. But he'll be back tomorrow. Filling in on the Showbiz Beat has been Ted Stryker, who does afternoons here on the World Famous Carrick. When are you on, Stryker? From 4 to 7, right?
That is incorrect. I am on from 2 to 6.
2 to 6.
Right. 2 to 6. For years, in years, I was on 4 to 7, but recently it has been moved 2 to 6.
Oh, that's right, because the bad man fired people. I forgot about that. Okay, so 2 to 6 for Stryker.
Yes.
Doing double duty today, filling in on the Showbiz Beat. What do you have for us this hour?
All right, so Jessica Simpson, former singer, former actress, great shoe designer, Weight Watcher spokesman at one point. She has a daughter named Maxwell. It was just revealed what the new kid is going to be named. She, you know, she has a bun in the oven. It did not take long to have the second kid. She has not had it yet. It is going to be a boy, and they are going to name this kid... Adam Carolla will be happy. Ace.
Really?
Ace.
Ace.
Wow.
Hey, sport.
Ace.
Ace.
That's interesting. Now, this one's a boy?
This is going to be a boy. Maxwell is their daughter, which I think is a guy's name, right, Lisa May? Maxwell is a boy's name, right?
Yes, it is.
And they're going with Ace. This kid is going to have an ass kick in his entire
really
life.
Day one.
Every.
I think that's a cool name. I like the name Ace.
You do
no,
not.
I'm serious.
Mean.
I like the name Ace.
That's a good nickname. That's not a good name.
Yes.
Why? Tell me why it's a bad name. Explain that to me. Because I really
you're going to get killed. With
I
that
see
name.
It as a name that is that everyone knows. That's easy to spell, easy to pronounce. What's the problem with it?
If you don't do, if you're not even average at things in life,
right?
You can't be an ace.
Ace denotes that you have an amazing amount of talent at something.
Right.
Really? You think little kids know that word?
Yes.
You think that the word ace means something to the kids of the age that would make fun of him?
It's like calling someone sport or how's it going, champ? Or how's it going, junior? Ace is not going to work. So there's some other names out there of celebrities that I think are kind of odd. Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow have a kid named Apple.
Yes,
of
that course. Happened.
Yeah, Jason Lee, who I love Jason Lee, he has a kid named Pilot Inspector.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, that happened.
David Duchovny and Taya Leone. Have a kid named Kid. They name their kid Kid.
Well, that's just lazy.
Unimaginative. Yeah.
I like it. That's like a dog named Dog. Come on.
Are you not going to ding the bell for Taya Leone, please?
Yes.
Thank
sorry.
You. Bono has a kid named Memphis Eve. And my favorite kid's name of all time, poor Michael Jackson's kid named Blanket.
Blanket, yeah.
Blanket.
The best for me, is, and this is no ace, is our friend Penn Jillette, who has a daughter named Moxie Crime Fighter.
What if your name was Ass Whore?
That's a great question.
What
Jim?
About that? We were talking about Allison Brie in the last Showbiz Beat. She is great on Community. I love her most on Mad Men, and she can freestyle rap so good. This is from an outtake from season 3 of Community. Hit it.
I'm a double werewolf. No. I don't even care. Well, if you had to share a wolf, then you better scare a wolf. That's right. That's bark, right. Bark, go and run away.
Yeah.
I need a shoe for my feet, cause a bear put y'all up too deep in the quicksand, y'all. And I'm down, down I go, and I ain't even riding that bus, cause I got my own car, and I don't bark in my ride, cause I take a lot of pride in my, yo, and we're doing this take, and I ain't a hoe.
And she ain't a hoe.
That right, show then. Seems like it would be so much fun to work on as long as Chevy Chase is not in your scene.
Lakers play the Celtics tonight at Staples Center. There'll be heavy hearts in Staples Center, and those watching, they will honor Dr. Jerry Buss tonight. I'm born and raised in L.A. I was born into Showtime. All I knew was Showtime growing up. Magic and Kareem and Michael Cooper. Then he brought in Pat Riley. Then he brought in Shaq, drafted Kobe. And very sad, there's a private service tomorrow. That's at Nokia Theater. I will be watching Lakers-Celtics tonight, not going to the game. All right, celebrating birthdays today. Actor Sidney Poitier is 86. Hall of Famer Charles Barkley is 50. French Stewart is 49. Cindy Crawford, 47. Brian Littrell from Backstreet Boys is 38. Andrew Hsu, still waiting to hear from him about corned beef sandwiches, is 46. Jay Hernandez, 35. Rihanna, 25. I'm so sad it's my last Showbiz Beat for a while. I'm Stryker. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for letting me ruin it today on Kevin and Bean.
By the way, what is this thing, Ted, where you have where you stalk celebrities for dates on Twitter? I saw you hitting on Mrs. Brady the other day. What's going on with that?
Well, I stalk people that I had just I'm very fond of and I adore. And Mrs. Brady, who I believe is 79, I love the Brady Bunch. It was his birthday. I asked her on Twitter if she would like to go to Fridays.
Yes.
And she seemed very moved.
She responded. So
she did?
Yes, she responded.
Are you going to nail that?
I'm going to try my best.
Good on you. Thank you, Ted.
Yo, thank you.
Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, as you know, Beer Mug is fat, and he's come up with a song. Beer Mug has come up with a song about being fat.
Is he as good at singing as he is at dieting?
I haven't heard it yet, but we'll all enjoy that tomorrow.
All right.
Shelley Murphy has written a book. It's got the longest title that I've ever heard. This is it. Whitey Bulger, America's Most Wanted Gangster, and the Manhunt That Brought Him to Justice.
Wow. He was living in Santa Monica undercover.
He was.
He
Love
was,
that.
Yeah.
Many years.
I call my underwear Whitey Bulger, in fact.
Whatever you say, Ace.
Thanks, champ.
Brand new internet roundup tomorrow, and we've got Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.